Tonight from Revelation chapter number 19. Revelation chapter number 19. It is amazing in our society, religious society tonight, that a lot of churches, a lot of preachers, a lot of teachers stay clear of Revelation. They do not teach it. They do not preach it. They do not delve into what the Bible says. In fact, they act as if it's a mystery we cannot know. But even the title of the book, Revelation, means to pull back the veil and to see what's behind the veil. Thank God, thank God. So I'm going to read the first 9 verses of Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with the fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And the smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, or the 4 living creatures, fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise unto God, all ye his servants, ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I'm going to conclude the right reading of the word there for now. But I hope that we'll understand in these verses, the curtain is being pulled back, and we get a glimpse of a wonderful event that's going to take place in heaven not long before Jesus returns to the earth. Now, I preached this from this very chapter in the early days of my ministry, and I was excited and I was thrilled about the revelation. I had it all worked out in my mind that about 5 minutes after we arrived in heaven, we're going to sit down to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Maybe I was hungry when I thought that. But the more I read and understand that this is going to take place at the end of the tribulation, just before the Lord returns to this earth again, the Bible says that he's going to come with his saints and going to set up his throne. He's going to reign in peace and righteousness. And in the 7th verse, in the first part, the Bible says the inhabitants of the heavens are praising, and they are giving praise and glory unto God. Amen. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. Now, that's the reason why they're worshiping. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. Not because of what's going on in the tribulation of the earth. Not because the rapture is taking place in the earth or in the presence. But the marriage of the Lamb has come. Amen. Think about it, if you will, while the tribulation is going on in this world, and the armies of the nations of the world are marshaling their armies to come to Israel to fight against the Lord and against Israel in the battle of Armageddon. While all of that is going on, we're going to be around the throne and getting ready for a wedding. Excitement in the air. Hallelujah. Notice, if you will, who it is that's getting married. It's the Lamb. It's the Son of God. It's the Christ of glory. Amen. He's the heavenly bridegroom. And years earlier, in the first chapter of John, the Bible says, when John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan, one day he looked up and it already happened with Jesus. And another day he comes and sees as he comes up out of the waters. And he sees Jesus coming this way. He cried out to the people around about, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Aren't you glad tonight you know him? Aren't you glad he took your sins away?
Amen, amen, amen. And behold, the Lamb of God, and here it's His wedding day in the 5th chapter of Revelation. And I'm not going to try to teach the whole Revelation tonight, but the Bible says, while the children of God were gathered around the throne, and there was one on the throne that had a book in his hand, and it was sealed with 7 seals, and as they began to search above the earth, and in the earth, and below the earth, no one was found worthy to break the seals thereof, to open the book. And listen closely, not even Enoch, the man before the flood that preached holiness and righteousness, was not worthy. Not only Abraham, not even Abraham, and that was a man after God's heart, that served God, that was mightily used of God, and the father of the Hebrew nation, not even Abraham, not even Moses, the lawgiver, the deliverer of the children of Israel, not even Daniel, the statesman of Israel, not even David, the king, not any of those, not even Paul, the church builder, the evangelist, the pastor, and the overseer of the church, not even Paul was found worthy. The Bible said, though in the midst, there was one. I looked, he began to, John said, I began to cry. John began to weep. No one was found worthy. And suddenly someone said, lo, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. As he goes on to say it in that verse, he lets us know there's nothing more, there's no one other than the Lamb. I don't know what you call him, but I would call him the Lion Lamb. The King of the animals. And yet humble, meek, the Lion seen as a Lamb. It's His wedding day. I want you to stop. Now I'm going to ask you some questions, so I'll start right now. Those of you that are married or have been married, can you remember your wedding day? If you can, I'm not going to ask any questions about it. But if you can remember it, raise your hand. You can remember your wedding day. I don't know how you felt, but I know how I felt. I was excited. Never been married before. Still got my first wife. I was excited. Don't you know on that day it's going to be excitement? Can you imagine? It's the wedding day for the King. It's the Lord's Son. It's God's Son, the Lord Jesus. It's His wedding day. And we're standing around the throne praising God. And now in the 5th chapter, no one was found worthy to open the book, the Bible says. And then they pointed to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation. He was found worthy. Let me say this tonight. No one is worthy but Jesus. No one but Jesus. People have been lifted up. The spotlight's been put on people and on ministers and on preachers and on teachers and musicians and all the rest. He deserves all the light. Amen, amen. Put the spotlight on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He alone is worthy. In that 5th chapter of the book of Revelation, no man was found worthy, but now, as John was weeping, he finds out, one of the elders said to him, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and goes on to the Lamb that was slain. He was given the book. In the 12th verse, those about the throne began to worship, saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Sevenfold, complete worthiness, I will ever want to know tonight. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Praise God. He's worthy of our praise. I'll ask you another question. Any of you have any relatives? Or have you ever been to a farm way back yonder when they did not have running water and you had the pump? What happens when the pump was dry? You had to prime it. There was some kind of can or pitcher or something. You had to prime it. Listen closely. I don't believe you ought to have to prime Christians to worship God. I don't believe you ought to have to prime anyone to worship God. If it's there, it's there. Amen, amen. Thank God. And if the well's run dry, that's got to fit it. Take care. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And as I thought about that day and how exciting it's going to be when we gather around the throne for the wedding of the Almighty God, for the Lord. He's the all-sufficient one. He's my everything. We sing that. He's my everything. He's my all. And I've just made the statement that it's worthy. And folks, if I stop right now and we all go home, I want you to know something. He's worthy of every blessing, every praise, everything we've ever done, everything we can give, whatever it is. He's worthy. Can you just wave your hand tonight to God? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy tonight. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We sing the chorus, I will praise Him. And the last verse of the book of Psalms says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. I believe if there's anything the church has come behind in and sat with, it's worshiping God and praising God. Amen, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Long as we have breath, that ought to be what we do. Praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. In the 19th chapter that I read in the 6th and 7th verses, the wedding begins. All heaven begins to rejoice. It's a happy occasion. It's a blessed time. And rightfully so, the marriage of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb, Jesus the bridegroom, is getting married. It's the wedding day of the Son of the living God. Let me share this with you tonight in our society in America. And maybe it's that way everywhere around the world. But it seems like when the wedding comes, they're thinking it's on the lady. Amen. Look in the daily press. For those that are engaged, and usually they have her picture. And then when the wedding has already taken place, it's a picture of her with that beautiful wedding gown, and they tell you what it's made of, and I hesitate to try to tell you. But, and maybe the attendance of the wedding, and it's all about her. I want you to see something different. Well, this wedding is not all about the bride, but it's about the bridegroom. This is the wedding of the Lamb. This is the wedding of the Lord Jesus. Amen. There's never been a wedding like it. And the more you read about it, the more excited you get. I want to be there. Thank God, there's never been one and there'll never be another. Well, that's just one of a kind. Amen. The wedding of the Son of God. Amen. And the people began to worship. And they begin to praise and begin to magnify the Lord. Yonder in the world is the marriage of the Lamb. Jesus is the central figure. Then you come to the 7th verse, and this is important. Let me read it again. 7th verse, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And the last part of the verse says, and His wife hath made herself ready. I want us to give our attention now towards the bride. A glimpse of the bride. The Bible says she hath made herself ready. I want to make something as clear as I can tonight. There's going to be a lot of people that think they're in the bride of Christ. There's going to be a lot of people that think they're going into rapture. There's a lot of people that think they're going to heaven. But they're going to miss out because they have not made themselves ready. Amen, amen. I heard, and I'm not here as a judge, I heard someone, one of the senators, and they were talking about something that's just been passed. I don't even know what that was. And they said, because Ted Kennedy had a part in, and they were getting it started that night right now, Ted Kennedy's looking down from heaven, and he's pleased with what we've just done. I'm not going to try to take Ted Kennedy out of heaven. I'm not going to try to put him there. But I'd be surprised if he was there. Because the way that a man dies, the way that a man lives is the way that he dies. And if you live without God, and I'll leave the rest with everyone. The Bible says now that the bride has made herself ready. Hallelujah. Notice if you will, the bridegroom furnishes the wedding garment for the bride. The bride will be clothed in the righteousness of Almighty God. Now, I would have really made a blunder if I came back to Virginia from California or from Idaho when we got married, and I said to my bride, my wife-to-be, now I'm going to come and pick out your dress. That would have been a foolish start in a marriage. But the Bible says that the saints, the bride, Behold, in the righteousness of Almighty God, Jesus hath prepared how the God is for us. Listen to us in the bride of the Lord Jesus in the church of the living God. A lot of people have gotten all out of sorts. There are denominations tonight, there are religious leaders tonight that try to tell you that the bride is their denomination, that the bride is a certain part of people over here and that believe a certain way. Let me tell you tonight, the bride is made up of the saints of God that are walking in righteousness and serving the Almighty God and living in holiness. Amen. 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 Hallelujah, He has provided the righteousness for the saints of God. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church of the living God. We are going to be married to the bridegroom. You and I are going to be at the wedding, and we're going to be a participant in the wedding. We're not going to be sitting on the sidelines. We're not going to be maybe attending here, attending there, usher here, usher there. We're going to be married to the Lamb. Thank God, thank God, thank God. In the 5th chapter of Ephesians, Paul said the bride not only is saved from sin, but the bride has been sanctified and cleansed with the washing of the water of the Word. And in the next verse of the chapter, the Holy Ghost reveals that up to the bride at this time, the purpose of the bride being cleansed, that Jesus Himself might present the church, the bride, unto Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let me say it one more time tonight, the bride of Christ is going to be holiness. Doesn't mean that holiness must be in the name of the church or in the title of the church. But it means that holiness must be our life. Yeah. Our lifestyle. The church is going to be married. Yes. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Now I know we're going to be raptured before the tribulation begins. And I know we're going to be with the Lord during the tribulation on this earth. We're going to be with Him in glory. And I know that everything He does is going to be just and righteous. Every bit of the judgment He pours out, we're going to say, you're doing the right thing. But I imagine during that time, and I realize that we're going to be glorified, and we're not going to be bound by time, but I don't even know 7 years to wait to be married to the bridegroom. That's a long time. I met my bride-to-be in November of 1962. I didn't even see her in 1963. But we stayed in contact, and I sent her a ring in the last part of 1963 or the early part of 1962. And then I came home in the early part of 1964 to get married. Now, that wasn't after we were engaged long distance, maybe 3 months or 4 months. I was excited. I don't know whether I could handle it without for 7 years, unless I was glorified. And I'm going to be glorified. So we're going to marry and behold it. Amen. But I'm excited, aren't you? Yes. Amen. We're going somewhere. This is not going to be just any wedding. This is going to be the wedding of the bridegroom, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. He's going to be married to the church. All this time, keep this in mind, all this time, as the holy bridegroom, and looking out for the bride, He's always been there to woo her, and to love her, and to provide for her, and to give gifts unto her, and to please her. And one of these days, He's going to take her into our new tabernacle. The church is going to be a part of the family of God, amen. We're going to be born to the Lord. We're going to be married to the Lord. My. I like what Brother Leon Smith used to say. He used to say that when they get excited, they say, my. I don't know whether I said enough my's or not, but that's the way I feel. My. The bridegroom has been wooing the church, has been loving the church, has been inviting the church, has been cleansing the church, has been preparing the church, has been supplying the garment for the wedding, taking care of every detail. And I feel tonight that God is getting the church ready. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not just looking for numbers when the last one comes in and gets saved, wherever it might be, and to make up the church, but I'm asking God what the ones that we've already got. Help us to be everything You want us to be. I find myself praying all the time, God, help me to be that which is pleasing in Your sight. Hallelujah. I've already found out a long time ago, you cannot please everybody, but if you can please one, if you can please Him, that's what counts. Amen, amen. He is the Lord, the Bridegroom. And He says, my bride is the church, and she's made herself ready. I believe He's looking down tonight upon the church of the living God that's been blood-washed. Hallelujah. Through the Word, has been sanctified through the Word. I believe He's looking towards us, and we're getting excited about that time we're going to be with Him. I believe He's getting excited about us being with Him and Him being with us. Amen. I believe it's a two-way thing. Praise God, praise God. Wouldn't it be sad to have a marriage and just one loved the other and the other one didn't love? That'd be sad. But I'll just give a testimony. We've been married here almost 60 years and my wife told me just yesterday she loved me. Maybe today. We keep on loving God and we love each other. Thank God, thank God. The wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Blessed are they, the final part in the verse number 9, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Not only is there going to be a royal wedding with a bride and a groom, with Jesus and the church, with the King of Kings and the saints of God, there's going to be a royal reception. Now, we have had marriages in this church, a lot of them. In fact, Richard has asked me to marry him 2 weeks from tomorrow. Richard Swanson is going to be in town. There's been a lot of marriages. There's been some very, very nice receptions. I can remember some, and then some that were no doubt real nice that I cannot remember, but there's been some very nice receptions of the people that have been saved, that have been married here. The Bible doesn't give all the details and the specifics, and so I hesitate to speculate as to exactly what's going to take place at that marriage supper, the reception, the wedding reception. But there's one thing of which I'm sure: it's going to be a spectacular event. It's going to be like something we've never, never imagined. I want you to go with me in your minds 2,600 years ago. Bible says that Belshazzar was the king of Babylon. And he made a feast for all the dignitaries of the land. And they came to the banqueting hall and they took the golden cups and all the silverware, all the vessels from the temple of God that they had taken from Jerusalem. And they were having a drunken party. And it was a large banqueting hall. In recent years, the archaeologists have dug up the remains of the banqueting hall in Babylon. Remember the hanging gardens in Babylon of that day that were built by Nebuchadnezzar was one of the 7 wonders of the world. Beautiful. The walls, how high they were, how wide they were. A city that was like none other. In that banqueting hall, they have found that the dimensions they have found, the results, the dimensions of the banqueting hall was 1.5 times as wide as this church. 60 feet wide. Maybe not quite one. This might be 44 or 40. If it's 40, it's 1.5 times. If it's 44, you'll have to figure it out. 60 feet wide. The banqueting hall, 172 feet long. That's from that wall right into the back. Down that hall, out yonder in the hall, 172 feet, a banqueting hall. They found in excavations that the walls were adorned with all types of beautiful adornments, paintings and the rest. It was a beauty. In fact, in Babylon of that day, it was a pride of the city. Babylon was a great city. It was a pride of theirs, the banqueting hall, where the dignitaries met, and all they had a time. I want everyone to understand, every bit of that banqueting hall yonder in Babylon was built by man. It was built by elements of this world. stone or brick or building or whatever it was, all from this world, but the banquet and hall in the glory world, but the marriage supper of the Lamb is not going to be built by lumber and stones and brick. It's been built by God, and every part of it is heavenly. Brother Jones, what does it look like? Ask me when we get there. I don't know. I can tell you this tonight, I'm assured it. It's going to be more wonderful than anything we've ever seen. I went to a large banqueting hall in Hong Kong just visiting. It was a beauty. Chandeliers and all the rest, it was a beauty. I've seen pictures of various places where the dignitaries meet around the world. How did the leaders of the nations of the world meet in some beautiful places? I want you to know they are nothing, nothing, nothing compared to what is over yonder. There's going to be a royal reception. Now let me, and I'm going to hurry along here. I told you before, but I don't want you to forget it. Ladies, you are the best cooks this side of the Mississippi. Maybe on the other side as well. Last Sunday, I was up at the front with my wife, getting some things prepared, and when we got back there, they were having to extend the table of the food. Not just the people that came to eat, but we've got more food than we can handle here. Get another table out. Put some tablecloths on it. Let me share something with you. I love the way you cook. It has sustained me these years. I'll just share something humorous. We had the therapist come by a week or so ago for my wife, and then the other one, whatever they called her. Not the physical therapist, but the other. Occupational therapist. And she looked at us, and she wanted to see the shower. Was it large enough? And my wife could sit down in the shower and whatever. And she said, do you have a fire extinguisher in the kitchen? I said, no. She was ready to tell us to get one, and I said, but ma'am, we don't use the kitchen. My wife don't cook anymore. Why would you need a fire extinguisher when you go there? Amen. Let me say this with you, when we get to glory, we won't even need physical therapists. We won't need occupational therapists. We won't need a fire extinguisher. We don't need anything if we're going to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And at that banquet hall, and that feast, that metal feast, and all this man, and I don't know what it's be like. Somebody said, God's going to give us in the size of our heart with some preacher's there, there's going to have to be some fried chicken. I don't know what it's going to be like. I just don't know what it's going to be like, but I can tell you this. Whatever it is, it's going to be out of this world. It's going to be out of this world. I thought as a boy, when we were growing up, we'd go to North Carolina every summer, stay for a couple of weeks, come back home, daddy would take us down there, leave us 2 weeks and come back and get us. 2 weeks, and then my grandpa Parker, my mom's dad, he'd have his birthday during the time we were down there. That's one of the reasons we'd go at that time. Grandpa Parker would have his birthday. And on that day, that Sunday afternoon, they would spread the tables out under the trees there in the churchyard. Have you ever been to one of those? If you haven't, you missed it. Food everywhere. Six-year-old boy, guess what we'd do? Go get a sandwich and go play. Food, I mean food. Get a sandwich. Maybe a half a bologna sandwich. Can you imagine that? But when you get older, a bologna sandwich doesn't satisfy. And when you serve God, listen closely, it's going to be something. It's going to be a royal banquet. Because the marriage is a royal marriage. And I'm going to close and we're going to pray. But I want everyone to understand tonight, if you've got your eyes set on it, if you're anxious, if you're ready, if you're looking forward to it, I believe you can say, goodbye, world, goodbye. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure's all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Take this whole world and give me Jesus. John said, if we love the world, the love of the Father's not in us. God tries to say tonight, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. I'm in my way to that city where the Lamb is the light. I'm going to be a part of the city. I'm going to be a part of the bride. Amen. The church is going to be married to the bridegroom, the Lamb of God. It's going to be an occasion like the world has never known. I want to be there by the grace and help of God. I'm going to be there.
course, that sings, I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. Hallelujah. It's going to take more than words. Listen closely, and I'm closing. The church that is going to be married to the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, will be holy.
Amen.
No other way around it. Some people say, well, Brother Jones, I wasn't raised that way. I just didn't know about it. The church that I attend, they don't preach it. That Bible teaches it.
Amen.
Get in the Bible.
Yes.
The church is going to be holy.
Yes.
And the Bible says this, and I close with this. And He has saved us. Mm-hmm. He has cleansed us. He has sanctified us. And He's going to present it to Himself, the church to Himself,
mm-hmm.
without spot or wrinkle or blemish,
yes.
or any such thing. How can we be like that? Because of the blood of Jesus that washes away every stain. We're going to be married. We're going to be married. The 20th day of February, my wife and I will celebrate 60 years of marriage. We haven't even mentioned about repeating vows. Nothing's been said about that at all. But I'm looking for some vows over yonder. The church is going to be married to Jesus. And this is the part that I want to leave. Come on to the piano, honey. How many marriages have not lasted? How many marriages have been here at this altar and within a year or 2 years or 5 years have gone on the rocks? How many do you know tonight that have broken up? The marriages have been broken. They're gone. That's one marriage that's going to last forever. Forever. Forever and forever. Hallelujah. Stand together with me tonight. Hallelujah. There's a song, honey. I can't remember.